The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the June-July issue of Scout Life. We're going to continue with Letters to Pedro. Dear Alfalfa Eating Pedro, I noticed some of the comics in mags have more, were not there anymore. Why is that so? Has the boss been a bad boss again? That's from Ethan J. in Susanville, California.
The boss? Bad? Never. The cheesy one knows that as you guys and gals get older, your reading needs change. So he and his editor pals swap out some of the Cub Scouts comics each month and put in content more relevant to you older readers.
Dear alfalfa-loving, awesome male Burrow Pedro, in much of your mail answering, you mentioned the boss. I have two big questions that I know only you with such a high-ranking job can answer. One, I know that a lot of your office is run by intelligent animals. Shout out to Marvin, Lance, and the masked chicken. Which makes me wonder if the boss is a Homo sapiens, scientific name for human. And two, will the boss ever appear in any of your comics? That's from Lucas B. in Layton, Utah.
The boss is very much a full-blooded Homo sapiens human, Lucas. A cheese-loving, magazine-liking, and Marlboro-tolerant human. Certainly not a comic character. A guy has never cracked a smile in his human life. Except when Cheddar Truck dumped his load out in front.
Hey, Pedro, does your friend the little chicken know how to read? Tell him I said hi. I think he's really cute. That's from Isaac G. in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Read? The chicken? Did we mention he's a full-blooded Gallus domesticus? Who ever heard of an animal reading and writing letters in a magazine? Oh, wait. I am so confused. Homo sapiens. Gallus domesticus. Equus asinus melburus. I think we need some soup. A corral time. Catch you next month.
Scout Life Gear Guy Update by Michael Lenza. Don't bug me. Try these tricks in gear for avoiding biting insects. Nobody likes bug bites, and some insects can spread serious diseases such as Lyme disease, West Nile virus, and dengue fever. You can avoid biting insects using this three-part strategy. Don't go where bugs are. Mosquitoes, ticks, no-see-ums, horseflies, and the like generally emerge with warmer temperatures in the spring. They thrive in wet places, especially around lakes and in forests. They persist into mid or late summer or fall, depending on climate, disappearing once night dips to freezing temperatures. Think high and dry. Take trips to drier destinations at higher elevations. Insects often breed in boggy areas with tall grass and standing water. Welcome the wind. Seek campsites that are exposed to wind because blustery conditions might keep bugs down. You've probably seen swarms buzzing around lights at night. If you're car camping, set up camp away from artificial lighting. 2. Use an effective repellent. Insect repellents containing DEET or picaridin can effectively fend off biting insects. The BSA recommends DEET register at a 20 to 30% concentration and picaridin at a 20% concentration. Some repellents to consider are Cutter Backwards by Dry Insect Repellent and OFF Sportsman Deep Woods. Repellents containing DEET can be sprayed directly onto clothing. It will not damage cotton, wool, or nylon, but avoid using it on synthetics other than nylon. Repellents containing picaridin can also be sprayed directly onto clothing and will not damage fabrics. Sprayed on clothing, sleeping bags, and other gear, Sawyer Permethrin, premium insect repellent for clothing, gear, and tents, repels insects for 6 weeks or 6 washes. Don't spray permethrin directly on your skin. Also, when you use sunscreen and a bug repellent, use separate products, not a two-in-one solution. Apply the sunscreen first and let it dry, then apply the bug repellent. Number three, cover up. When insects are avoidable, clothing provides great protection. Wear long pants and a long sleeve shirt to protect your arms and legs. A wide-brimmed hat with a neck flap or a neckerchief tucked under your hat can cover your neck and ears. Wear clothing with insect repellent permethrin, like the Insect Shield UPF Dry Balance Long Sleeve T-shirt and Insect Shield Girl Zip Hoodie. Insect Shield Boys Performance Rinse Top Pants and Insect Shield Girls Protection Legging. Consider wearing a head net like the Sea to Summit Mosquito Head Net. In tick habitats, forests, tall grass, and meadows, tuck your pants into your socks and frequently check yourself for ticks. If you wear high, light-colored clothing, it'll be easier to see and remove ticks before they've embedded into your skin. Moving to page 18 and 19 through 21, Off the Hook. Part one of an exclusive summer camp story by the author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And here we have on page 18 a picture of a young man holding a smelly sock, to his brother. Jaden was heading to camp, but all he could think of was Cousin Elijah. A few hours earlier, the two boys had been in Jaden's room. Jaden was dressed for two reasons. For one, Jaden had finished packing, and his dad was already waiting out in the car. For two, Jaden's older cousin Elijah was on Jaden's bed, taking off his socks. "Yo, what are you doing?" Jaden said angrily. Jaden picked Elijah's sock off the floor, then dropped it when he realized it was wet with sweat. "Making myself at home," said Elijah, while tossing his other balled-up sock into Jaden's hamper with perfect free-throw form. "'Cause that's where I'm at." Jaden glared at Elijah as his cousin made a big show of wriggling under Jaden's sheets and flopping onto his pillow, hands behind his head. This was not good. Jaden was heading off to his first ever scout camp, and that was stressful enough. But in the middle of packing, he found out Aunt Elina was going to be staying at his house while he was gone, and she brought Elijah with her. The thought of Elijah sleeping in his bed while Jaden was in a sleeping bag on the cold, hard ground made him mad. Maybe it would be better to stay home, so he... "Honk!" It was Jaden's dad in the driveway. He didn't like to be kept waiting. Jaden realized that whatever the sleeping situation was at camp, it had to be better than sharing his room with Elijah. He kept packing. "You better not touch any of my stuff while I'm gone," Jaden said, cramming handfuls of underwear in his already overstuffed duffel bag. He really stunk at this packing thing. But Elijah wasn't paying attention. He was reading aloud from a book. "A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient," Elijah said in a nasally obnoxious voice. "Give it," shouted Jaden, snatching his scout handbook from Elijah's hands. "Dude, that's so corny. You don't actually believe in that stuff, do you?" Elijah said, his eyes dancing with glee. Jane's ears burned red as he struggled to zip his duffel shut. Sometimes he really hated having an older cousin. "No, I guess I don't know," Jaden said, slinging the bag over his shoulder. Jaden knew the rest of the scout law by heart, because he had to memorize it when he got into Troop 133. Cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, reverent. Okay, maybe it did sound a little corny. "They're just trying to control you, to get you to behave," Elijah said as he twisted his pinky into his ear canal. "Just remember this, cousin. In the real world, you gotta look out for yourself." Elijah's words were ringing in Jaden's ears as he and his father made their way down the dusty road to the place he'd call home for the next week. Camp Messamet. Boys were hurrying this way and that, pitching tent and unpacking gear under a canopy of tall pines. They looked like they knew what they were doing. Most of them looked a lot older than Jaden. "You got this?" his dad said. Yeah, said Jaden, not so sure. But he took a deep breath. He got out of the car and then grabbed his duffel bag out of the trunk. As he watched his dad drive away, a familiar voice rang out behind him. Jaden! He spun around to see his Farnham. See Farnham, a boy he'd met at his first scout meeting, ambling toward him, struggling with his own overstuffed bag. Jaden instantly felt a little better about things. I brought peanut butter filled pretzels, Farnham said, pulling a clear plastic bag out of pretzel bites from his bag and holding them high like a trophy. But the Ziploc wasn't fully closed, and pretzels poured from the opening onto the dusty ground. Don't worry, I got extras, Farnham said with a wide grin, patting his bag. Being away from home for the first time was hard for Jaden. Sharing a tent with Farnham, who snored, took some getting used to. So did using an outdoor shower and waking up at the crack of dawn. On top of that, Jaden was assigned to the same patrol as a kid they called Big Quinn, who always seemed to be in a bad mood, especially in the morning. But the good stuff outweighed the bad. Swimming in the lake was a ton of fun. So was learning to kayak, and Jaden loved cooking meals on an open fire. Plus amores. So many amores. By the third day, Jaden felt like he'd gotten the hang of camp life. He knew how to start a fire with a flint. He could hold his breath long enough to use the latrine. He could bait a hook, and he'd even caught a few fish. The high schoolers in his patrol were better at just about everything, especially fishing. They knew all the best fishing spots on the lake, and they kept their secrets from the kids Jaden's age. But that was okay. He knew he'd find his own secret spots eventually. On the fourth night, some of the older guys came back from the lake, whooping it up. Big Quinn was at the center of the pack, holding something shimmering above his head. It was a fish, the biggest Jaden had ever seen. Big Quinn was grinning from ear to ear, and Jaden realized it was the first time he'd seen him crack a smile. Everyone gathered around the picnic table as Big Quinn gently set down his prize. Everyone else in the troop would be eating pork and beans tonight, but Jaden knew his patrol would be feasting on Big Quinn's catch. Things were buzzing that night. A cool breeze came off the lake. Someone had the radio cranked up loud, and kids were tossing a frisbee between the trees. Jaden and Farnham were sitting at the table. They were excited to have a bite of Big Quinn's fish, which was sitting in a tray on the picnic table, freshly filleted and covered in foil. Farnham lifted a corner to take a peek. "Dude," said Jaden, "you let the flies in." "When do you think you'll cook it?" said Farnham, licking his lips. "After the other stuff's ready. He wants everything to be perfect," said Jaden. Farnham strutted off to get the plastic utensils. Jaden set out the paper cups at even intervals around the table. Jaden didn't feel like walking all the way around the table to set out the last few cups, so he stretched his body across the table to put the cups in place. But when he pulled his arm back, his elbow bumped the tray holding Big Quinn's fish, knocking it off the table. As the tray started to fall, Jaden snagged it out of the air, and he breathed a heavy sigh of relief. But then came a moment that felt like it was happening in slow motion. The fish fillet slipped out between the foil and the tray. Jaden watched in horror as it tumbled once, tumbled twice, and fell with a wet splat onto the dusty ground. Jaden's eyes darted from the dirt cake face to Big Quinn, who was firing up the grill 10 yards away. They looked at Farnham and the other guys who were getting things ready at the prep table. Nobody had noticed. Jaden panicked. He kicked the fish under the table and covered it up with dirt and pine needles. Then Jaden set the tray back on the table, the foil still in the shape of the fish that wasn't there. "Hey," Farnham said, startling Jaden from behind. "Just one more peek at that fish." Jaden swatted Farnham's hand. "Cut it out," he said, gesturing to Big Quinn, who was headed that way. Big Quinn approached the table, taking big, clomping strides toward them. Had he seen what happened? Big Quinn picked up the tray with two meaty hands. "You know you guys don't deserve this," he said to the younger boys. "We know," Farnham said cheerily. Jaden gulped. Big Quinn made it halfway to the grill before he noticed the tray seemed a little light. He peeled back the foil. "Hey!" he shouted. "Where's my fish?" Big Quinn turned to face Farnham and Jaden. He wasn't smiling anymore. What happens next? See the August issue for the conclusion of Off the hook. And here in the picture on page 20 and 21, it shows Quinn with that mean look. Hey, where's my fish? And Jane and Vaughn looking. Scouting around, page 22. What a hoot. Venture's rescue owl. Venturer Regina Molitoris was doing her morning ranch chores when she noticed a great horned owl struggling in the barbed wire fence. She called her crew advisor, who was a veterinarian, for advice. Her advisor told her to call animal control, keep the animal inside, and exercise caution. If you are not trained and properly equipped, helping an injured animal can be dangerous. The vulnerable animal might not understand your intentions and accidentally hurt you. As Regina waited for animal control, she phoned fellow venturer Adam Tufts, who came over to help. The venturers, members of Crew 942 of Livermore, California, helped direct animal control officers to the distressed bird. The owl was freed from the barbed wire, but it couldn't fly and was badly hurt as metal remained embedded in both of its wings. The animal control officers had to respond to another call, so the venturers transported the owl, which they nicknamed Hootie, to a local animal hospital. I have never seen an owl this close, but they are really beautiful creatures, Regina says. I'm happy that we were able to rescue him. The venturing crew plans to further help owls by installing owl habitats in nearby parks and vineyards as part of its focus on conservation. Fish Close to Home and National Tournament. Scout events. More than 170 youth across the country, most of whom are scouts, dropped their lines in their favorite fishing spots last fall for a friendly nationwide contest. A small team of venturers and seed scouts planned the two-week event called Croft Central Region Opening Fish Tournament and invited scouts and non-scouts aged 5 to 20 to catch bass and catfish. They could fish wherever they wanted and submit photos of their catch. The largest bass caught was 22 inches long, and the largest catfish was 35 inches. Winners of each age bracket received a medallion featuring the Sea Scouts logo with the trident. The fishing tournament will return September 4th through 19th. This year, there will be contests for bass, catfish, and trout. The award ceremony will be streamed on YouTube. Official rules and scorecards will be available at go.scoutlife.org/croft. Need some fishing tips? Check out gear, knots, techniques, and more at fishing.scoutlife.org. Troop helps others brace for hurricane. Last year marked the most active Atlantic hurricane season on record, with 30 named storms, nearly half of which reached hurricane strength. One of the strongest storms was Hurricane Delta, which developed into a Category 4 storm with sustained winds of 145 miles per hour. As the monster hurricane took aim for the Gulf Coast last October, Troop 61 of Rain, Louisiana, spent an afternoon making 200 sandbags for area residents. Sandbags are large bags filled with sand that can be stacked around a home to protect it from floodwaters. With these bags already made, residents didn't have to worry about trying to make them as the storm approached. Scouts helped load bags into residents' cars to help them prepare. A little more than a month prior, deadly Category 4 Hurricane Laura struck the Louisiana coast. Fortunately, Delta weakened as it reached the state, devolving into a Category 2 when it made landfall. Honoring Old Glory. The American flag is a symbol representing our country's past, present, and future. It should remind us of our freedoms and of those who have sacrificed to defend those freedoms. As scouts, we respect the flag, and that means following flag etiquette. Salute the flag when you see it being hoisted or lowered. Fly it appropriately and store it so it won't get damaged or dirty. You shouldn't let the flag touch anything below, including the ground. However, if it touches the ground, it doesn't mean the flag should be retired. You can clean it, as long as it's still suitable for display. The flag can fly. The flag shouldn't be tattered, torn, or discolored. If the flag is beyond repair, it's time to retire it. Do so in a dignified way, preferably by burning. For nylon or synthetic flags, it can be appropriate to bury or recycle the flag. See how to properly display and fold the American flag by visiting go.scoutlife.org/flagcare. Let's talk. Pages 24 through 26. National parks. The most visited national park is Tennessee's Great Smoky Mountains. It hosts about 11 million visitors each year. July is National Park and Recreation Month. Find a national park near you and get outdoors. But first, turn the page to learn more about national parks. Let's look at national parks. The National Park Service was created in 1916. It protects more than 84 million acres of parks so everyone can enjoy them. The largest national park is Wrangell St. Elias Park in Alaska. It covers 13.2 million acres, but only has about 75,000 visitors each year. Yellowstone was the first national park in the United States. Some of North America's highest waterfalls are in California's Yosemite National Park, with Yosemite Falls at 2,425 feet tall and Ribbon Falls at 1,612 feet tall. Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky has the longest cave system in the world. It's more than 400 miles. Question: how do trees access the internet? Answer: they log on. Okay, Melboro. National parks are a great place to camp. Always check with the park ahead of time to learn about their rules and remember to leave no trace. There are 423 national parks in the United States. This includes national battlefields, monuments, scientific, scenic trails, and more. Nearly 6 million people visit the Grand Canyon each year. Visit goscoutlife.org/NPS to find a national park near you. Next month, let's look at rainforests. Now, how about some comics? Let's start with Lion Pride. Page 32, American Boogie. Mr. John Hancock, will you sign the Declaration of Independence? Gladly, Benjamin Franklin. Don't forget John Adams would also like to sign. Sorry I'm late. Thomas Jefferson, where have you been? I've been working hard finding the right song for the Independence Dance. That's Boogie! Kip's Joke Corner. So funny, you'll forget to laugh. What is Neil Armstrong's favorite dance? Neil Armstrong says, the moonwalk. Tiger's Adventures, page 33. Tiger, halt, who goes there? It's me, Edward. That lantern is so cool. Thanks, Edward. My dad made it, and I may help him. And it's made from stuff we were recycling, too. It's made from, well, two tuna cans, a battery-powered candle, a wire hanger, in the middle of a plastic bottle, pop bottle. And my dad drilled these holes in the can. Hey, if I get you those supplies, do you think you and your dad can make me one? Sure, Iggy. Ordered a whole bunch of them. Iggy, for the last time, thank you, but I don't care for any more pop or tuna fish sandwiches. Wolfgang, Tug of Triumph. Well, Wolfman has his headphones on. Phil Fangman here from Wolf Sports. The Den 9 Tug of War Championship is about to begin. I paid good acorn to see this. Say the bunny rabbit in a little tiny fox. Cub master and referee, loop line is in position and about to signal pull. So you have these little guys versus two big guys. And the big guy says, we never lose. The Bear Bunch, Guide to Summer Fun. So we have the little bears here. And the first thing is jump in the pool. And the bear is so big, he covers the entire pool. Have a cookout. Well, make sure you know how to cook. His face is all smoked up. Going fishing? Ooh-ooh. One is need to be in the middle. Boat capsize. Toast marshmallows. And go camping. Weeblow's Woody. One and two. One, two, three, four. We love hiking. Let's do some more. Five, six, seven, eight. Let's keep going. This is great. One, two, three, four. And to stop, our feet are sore. Dink, Duff, and Desi. Eek! Ah! I'm afraid of the dark. Don't be scared, Mr. Monster under the bed. I'll help you brave it with my trusty camping lantern. Brave. Scouts can face danger even if they are afraid. They have the courage to stand for what they think is right. And last comic for today, Pee-wee Harris looks at pioneering. Hi, Pee-wee. Your mom said you were working hard to prepare for our next campout. Hey, Sam. Yeah, trying to get a jump on it. What you building? It looks really interesting. Well, only a pioneering marvel, Sam. I give you the world's first camp-ready rotating salad bar. Gone are the days of having to walk to the salad fixings. With my invention, the fixings come to you. It's also rock solid. This thing isn't going anywhere. I believe that. What do you mean? Well, it's going to be kind of a challenge getting it out of your basement. Oh, I guess you're right. Well, how about a little salad? Well, let's end with a few jokes from Sleep, Think, and Grin. Ben, how come there's no knock-knock joke about America? John, no idea. Ben, because freedom rings. That's from Ben G. in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Alina, what did the alpaca say when he was kicked off the farm? Tia, I'm stumped. Alina, I'll pack up my bags. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.